tell you about Public Square. There are several lines that meet other edges.
Youth of this country who are already in a disillusioned, disenchanted state will be encouraged.
Where we talk about the fine margins. Sometimes it's black, white, and blurry.
It's also informed by the need to save costs and reduce legislative time.
Then there are the actors right at the center, coming through political processes, which could be dramatic.
To the extent of this impeachment, if Parliament does not raise this money.
And controversial.
If driving through the roads is engaging the macabre dance, compatibility is that of government.
And there's you to help connect the dots from the top to the bottom. Join Rotimi Sankore and Aroho Obo at the Public Square every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Public Square.
At 99.3 Nigeria Info, you're on to Public Square. And what a show you're going to have this evening. We have quite a lot to unpack, and I hope that you have unpacked for yourself a great month gone by. We are into the Ember month, so happy new month to you all on the square. I'm sure you've had enough of that, but never enough of good wishes to everyone who's tuned in to 99.3 Nigeria Info. So you know how Rotimi Sankore and I do it on the Public Square, where we have the biggest talking points from the week. And we give you the big picture for the stories we're looking at, so that you not only see things from the surface, but can drill deep and also understand what the real issues are and how they can be resolved, not just in the short term, but also, too, very importantly, the long term, and that way it's sustainable. So today's Public Square, we're going to be reviewing matters arising from the ongoing Academic Staff Union of Universities strike. It's been primarily for the revitalization of universities. Our guest this evening is the president of the Academic Staff Union of Universities, Professor Emmanuel Oshodeke, but he's caught up in a meeting right now. And will join us very shortly. I just spoke to him briefly before I stepped in to the studio. So Rotimi Sankore will join us from the onset. And we have quite a number of things we'll be talking about, and of course, to get you all involved in the discussion this evening. The number to call, or rather the number to send us messages on WhatsApp, is 0809-597-5805. Again, 0809-597-5805. And then we are live on social media, so you can send us messages on all our social media platforms at Nigeria Info FM, at Public Square NG, at Rotimi Sankore, at Awoho Obu. Any of these handles, you'll be able to get in touch with us. So, not exactly the way we had planned it. So at some point, Professor Shodoke will join in midway. He had to appeal to me that I got to understand how fluid it has been. And so for the past 7 months or thereabout, the universities have been shut down. And when we thought that it was about to be over, it got more confused. So Rotimi Sankore joins in now. Rotimi Sankore, data expert and policy expert. Great to have you, Rotimi, with us again this evening.
Thanks, well, as you know, I just say I'm a development journalist.
Yes. What did I say? Did I say development expert?
Well, with expertise in data and policy, that's fine.
Excellent. All right. Yeah. So we've had to jog this up a little bit because of Professor Oshodoke's sudden meeting, which he's asked for 30 minutes grace before he joins in the square. But there's plenty for us to talk about, Rotimi. And I guess while we'll start off with this one, and then when he comes in, we can then delve into his own talking points. But I guess as a way to just set the ball rolling, it's important that we understand what the goal for us is and the goal for the country is, which is with most industrialized and developed countries, where the investment has gone into, because, you know, it's a popular saying that there's no need to reinvent the wheel. All you have to do is just copy, and you'd see. And I'm sure at this critical stage of Nigeria's life, there's so many things linked to its industrial growth as well as its potential to become one of the greatest countries in the world.
I mean, it's a real shame. I mean, to be quite frank, I'm embarrassed that we are having this discussion about investment in university in 2022. And I think that the government should be thoroughly ashamed of themselves, the federal and the state government. You know, I mean, they try and portray this thing as an argument with ASUU. But every single person in this country should know clearly that the most industrialized countries in the world also happen to be the countries that have made the most investment in their universities and polytechnics. I mean, it's clear. It's clear. I mean, why is China now an industrialized country? It's because of the investment in its universities and polytechnics. Why is South Korea, which was on the same level as Nigeria in 1960, why is South Korea now one of the most industrialized countries in the world? It's because of this investment in science, technology, learning, and so forth like that. So, I mean, look at the European countries. I mean, we can go on and on like that. So, you know, without investment in universities and polytechnics, Nigeria is never going to be industrialized. And without industrialization, we can't maximize job opportunities. That's just the truth of it. I mean, why are all the car manufacturers in the world going to China to set up their plants? Why? They are going there because the Chinese have invested in the training of their engineers, their mechanical and automobile engineers. Why are the top computer companies in the world going to China to set up their manufacturing plants? Because the Chinese have trained the computer science students and the technology students. Why do we import, you know, most of the gadgets that we use from South Korea? Tablets, smartphones, computers, microwave, fridge, cars, AC, Look, the South Koreans are even now making AC for us that is converter, that is inverter friendly, that is generator friendly. Things, I mean, this is ridiculous. They are making for us now from South Korea and China rechargeable fan, understanding our state of development better than us. Those people don't have lights.
Yeah.
If you send fan to them, it can't work. It has to be rechargeable. Rechargeable lamp, rechargeable fan, rechargeable, you know, everything. You know what I mean? So, it is quite clear. It is quite clear that the industrialization is never going to happen without the investment in university and polytechnic. This thing should not even be an argument.
Right.
Oh.
Right. Because it goes hand in hand. I mean, even if you got them in here, they're going to require expertise in certain fields, Rotimi, for even those large-scale investment in...
Yes.
Yeah, because they're, you know, we're talking about Nigerian content. If they're going to, people who try to get experts in different fields have such a difficult time recruiting because we don't have the people who have been trained in those areas, and the few ones who have been trained out of the country, unfortunately. And so it just
even if they have case. Been trained, even if they've been trained, they've never seen the equipment before. Look, if you land in any developed country, the first even when you look at it in a picture, just photo, film, internet, you can tell the difference already between the civil engineers in that country and the civil engineers here. And it is not to say that Nigerians do not have that capacity, because I know we have great engineers in Nigeria, those that have had the proper training, even some that have not had the proper training train themselves. But if once you just land in London, New York, Beijing, wherever, you see the buildings, you see the road, you see the bridges, you see the electricity, you see the way everything is spaced and organized. That is planning, that is civil engineering, that is architecture. That so if our young men and women have never had exposure to the training and equipment, how will they build those things? How will they build it? You can get the certificates on paper. If you've never seen the thing before, you can't manufacture a photocopier. Look, you know, I always give this example. Nigeria is an absurdity. Nigeria imports photocopier. Photocopier is the most basic form of technology. We can't manufacture photocopier to scale. We can't. Look at, most people have, at least in urban center, have a Wi-Fi or MiFi device of some kind. From the telcos, why can't we make those things here? These are things that the equivalent of SS3 students in China do for homework. When you talk, because me, when anytime I travel, I always talk to everybody, to the students, to the lecturers, the transport, you know, to try and understand what is happening. SS3 students, even lower. In places like China, South Korea, they give them assignment to go and build computer. They go to the market and buy the spare parts, different, and go home and couple it. They say, build a computer to this specification. First of all, in Nigeria, it is not even, you can't even find it. It is not affordable. And you wouldn't know how to do it.
You know, so
because you have not been taught.
It just reminds me, Rotimi, when we had that big dream of Nigeria being one of the nations that make that middle-income countries say we should add into the BRICS and call it BRINCS. So you would have Brazil, Russia, India, Nigeria, and Korea. But it didn't happen, Rotimi, that way. I remember going to Brazil because I was saying, maybe if you looked at one of those countries there, we probably could compare, but I was shocked. In Brazil, they make every single thing. Even the Marco Polo buses that we ride in here. It's made in Brazil. They made those BRT buses in Brazil up to the, what they call those things, sockets and everything. made in their home country.
So you mentioned buses.
Yeah.
So let us use the ongoing transport crisis, this thing about Okada in Lagos. Let's use it as a case study.
Yes.
Why does this issue exist? And it does not exist in New York or London or Beijing and so forth like that.
Mm.
That you have thousands of this Okada pestering everybody all over the place.
Yeah.
It is because of the capacity, to plan your urban transport system, and the capacity to build and maintain everything you need yourself.
Right.
The capacity to build the cross. I mean, you know how urban planning works. This is your specialty.
Right.
In any major city, you divide it into zones.
True.
Then you say, to go across the city, you need rail.
Mm-hmm.
To go from zone 1 to 6, you need rail,
whether
it is underground or overground, and then you cross it across the angles so that you can go from angle A to angle B, from angle C to angle D, and if you want to change, you get down at the center and then go in the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
So you do cross rail across the city.
Yeah.
So that is your mass transit.
Yeah.
To be able to build the trains and the rail tracks and so forth, you need specific type of engineers and technicians to build those things in your country. Because we can't manufacture those things in our country, because we don't train the engineers and technicians that can do it, to give them the practical example, the skills, the equipment. Lagos is in a mess. We have to import the rail coaches. You see people in government making mouth. We have imported one coach now. It has landed at the port. The second coach is arriving next week.
Yeah.
The governor is going to inspect it.
Yeah.
You will see now. When the third one, why are we importing it? Education crisis.
Yes, absolutely. So Rotimi, we're going to go on a break very soon, but since we're already on this part about the elaborating around skill gaps, you're already on transportation. There's still power to look at. There's agriculture. Interestingly, we're having a discussion the other day about the AFTA, and to realize that even the agro-allied area we should be dealing with, we haven't really expanded the value chain because of mechanization in agriculture has taken such a long time to go because it's directly linked with power. So I don't know if you will spare a minute and then we'll come back, and maybe by the time we come back, Professor Oshodeke will be in. So we'll just
if he hasn't joined, we finish on this
good
Lagos transport absurdity and scale it from the trains to the buses and the last mile, so that people understand why we have this silly problems here. You can tie everything to the education capacity.
All right. 99.3 Nigeria Info. We'll go on a quick break. Quite a lot for us to unpack. Don't forget, you still can send us messages on WhatsApp. The number is 0809-597-5805. Again, 0809-597-5805. And then also on social media, it's at Nigeria Info FM, at Public Square NG, at Rotimi Sankore, at Awoho Obo. We'll come back and have a look at everything you need to know. Please stay with us.
99.3 Nigeria Info.
Your number one station for talk. Let's talk.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is The Public Square.
Right, 99.3 Nigeria Info, Public Square. And what a show we have on, and all of us are going to continue the conversation from just where we stopped. I'm talking about where we stopped. We have still with us, Ruth Bisankura and I, we'll be joined by the president of the Academic Staff Union of Universities. But just before he joins in, we still will continue our conversation. And once we get the all clear, we can then connect with him. So, Ruth, we've begun already on a trajectory, and we will continue from where we stop, which is looking at the implications of education system, especially at the tertiary level, where investment hasn't happened, and how it's directly correlated with the underdevelopment. I think we better say it exactly as it is, the underdevelopment Nigeria faces. So,
yes, I mean, Nigeria is an underdeveloped country because our education system is underdeveloped. You know, I hope everybody knows that although certain political systems may be preferable to maximize democracy and input, the fact remains that even if you look at the variants of political systems across the world, the one thing the most industrialized countries have in common is the investment in their education system. So China, for instance, is not as democratic as it should be, but you can see that the investment in their universities and polytechnics means that, one, the Chinese can manufacture everything they need locally, everything. They build ships, they build airplanes, they put up skyscrapers. 20-story skyscrapers are built and assembled in 1 month. In 1 month. Complete. Not in the cement, something. Complete with plumbing, electricity, everything. On top of that, other countries go there to set up manufacturing plants for vehicles, for computers, for because the quality of the education is such that they can be guaranteed that any manufacturing plant they set up in China will turn out the goods and equipment to the quality that they need. If the investment in our own education system was such, not only will we be able to manufacture everything we want here, we don't have to import a ship, we don't have to import an aeroplane, we don't have to import vehicle, we don't have to import a refrigerator, computer, laptop, photocopier, MiFi, Wi-Fi, and all these things. We don't have to import them. On top of that, if we had the quality education, global companies will be coming to set up factories here. We will maximize employment. This nonsense we have of 100 million people living in extreme poverty will not be happening. The nonsense of, you know, 23 million people unemployed will not be happening. The nonsense of 43% youth unemployment won't be happening, because we will have the education necessary to grow our manufacturing. So, you know, it is really important that people understand this thing, that the education system is tied to everything. So, you know, you see some people gloating on social media. Very soon, only the ASUU president will be on strike. They should go back, Jare, so that people can get their certificate. They've been using 6 years for 4 year course. I sympathize. Nobody should spend 6 years on 4 year course. But maybe it is even ASUU not explaining themselves well. That, you know, if they graduate an engineering student that has never seen an engine,
right,
the person cannot get an engineering job.
I mean,
yes.
This is a real life situation.
And so on and so forth.
We see happen,
yes, I mean,
over and over again.
These things are real problems, which takes me to the transport issue I was talking about.
Good.
So in Lagos, we have a transport crisis.
Yeah.
20 million people, so-called.
Yeah.
We cannot build the trains, manufacture the trains or the railway lines and all the supporting equipment we need. We can't build it because our universities are not equipped to graduate the students that can manufacture those things. So as I was saying before the break, you see announcements every other month. The governor has gone to inspect two coaches. Two coaches have landed from China. Blue train. You see government officials talking like toddlers. Two coaches
Yes, each coach can take 50 people. And you will be looking, what are these people talking? The thing we could have built here, since you are importing two coaches and it's a big announcement. Now, not only they can't make the coaches, the buses cannot be built here. If we could build those double-decker buses, the type we see abroad, then we won't have all this thing about people fighting for transport in the morning. You know, I mean, if the trains were there, you don't have to wake up at 4 a.m. to get to work at 9. In fact, if you wake up by 4 a.m., you are probably late already. You know, the quality of sleep affects your cognitive ability, your thinking ability. It affects your immune system. All these things are reasons why Nigeria has the fourth lowest life expectancy in the world. So the buses are not there. They import them. A city like Lagos, 20 million people, should have maybe like 6,000 buses. Mass transit. You will see them saying that, you know, the company responsible has 500 and they are going to import another 50 next year out of 6,000. Now, no sufficient big buses. Then the smaller buses that, you know, we are describing earlier, how a city like Lagos should have about six zones where the trains cross the zones and can take you across the zones in 30 minutes. Then the big buses for the places the trains will not be able to go, mass transit. Then you should have the smaller buses that run within the zones. So let's say, for instance, Lagos Island is zone one. You have the small buses that only go in Lagos Island. And if a part of mainland is zone two, you have, you know, numbered buses. Now, all these things require planning. So that you know, when you see bus one, you know exactly where it is going. Bus two, when the train arrives and 1,000 people get off, there should be bus capacity to pick the 1,000 for the last mile immediately, whether big bus or small bus.
Exactly. I mean, that's
everything is synchronized. You know, the people looking at it in the giant planning room with the computers, they can see the trains, the speed they are going, when they arrive, when the buses are going to get where the ferry and things like that. When we say ferry in Nigeria, the thing is very funny. The ferry in Nigeria is like a keke mawa on water. A ferry should be able to take 50 cars, 100 cars from Ikorodu to Island. If you want to go with your car, you drive your car, roll on, roll off. You drive on, you get to VI, you drive off and continue to walk. And maybe with 1,000 passengers. That's what is called ferry. Here, ferry is, you know, some contrived speedboat that can take 12 people. That if it hits a log of water in the night, the thing will split into two. You know, so people need to understand that the lack of capacity in the education system can lead to social crisis. And you hear people arguing that they should go back to work, Joe. Okay, if the lecturers want to be cynical and go back to work, and the engineering, science, and technology students who have never seen any of the equipment they are supposed to work with before, or even the music students who don't have piano or saxophone to play and so forth like that, they just go and write on the chalk, with chalk on the blackboard, even if they have chalk, and just say, today we are going to learn mechanical engineering. And they just write everything with chalk on the blackboard and say, test tomorrow morning. If they want to be cynical, they will do it. You come, you do the test, you pass, they grade you, and they give you the certificate, and they will get their pay. And they will get their pay.
And we the people be the worst for it.
We'll be depending on oil and gas, which will soon finish. And people will be wondering, why is the naira falling? Why is the naira falling? Some one government official will come out and say, oh, it's Aboki FX. that is raising the something of the naira. Mm. That is why naira is falling. If we ban Aboki FX, the naira will stabilize immediately. The naira is falling because you are not exporting any manufactured goods. You're only exporting oil, and on top of it, you're exporting oil and importing petrol. Because the refinery is not working. and people will just be confusing the issue left, right, and center. I mean, look, this thing is embarrassing. It is embarrassing to talk about it.
Mm.
It is even more shameful to put on the TV and see government officials talking absolute blatherdash. This ASU demand is too much. Yeah. We can't afford it.
Right.
This is just one important point to make.
Yes.
Eh?
Right.
The fuel subsidy money.
Yeah.
For 12 weeks, one quarter.
Right.
Is 1.6 trillion naira.
Mm.
1.6 trillion.
Mm.
12 weeks. The amount that can revitalize all the universities in Nigeria is 1.2 trillion over 6 years, 200 billion a year. So, if you've never figured it out before, 12 weeks of the fake subsidy, 12 weeks will fix all the universities. And Nigeria will be on the road to being industrialized. 12 weeks of the fake subsidy money. We'll solve this problem.
All right, 99.3 Nigeria Info. And we're having a big picture discussion around the shutdown of universities. We know what it is, but very few people understand the consequences. And the big picture is what Rotimi Sankore and I are looking at. You just here in just one area, which is around transportation. And everything around transportation is what we've dealt. There's still agriculture, there's healthcare. The list is endless. And everywhere you've seen a zero application of the knowledge gotten in university back into the sector is the underdevelopment you also have found in the sector. We still haven't been able to connect with Professor Oshodeke, the president of the Academic Staff Union of Universities. But their messages coming in, wrote to me, I think we take some of them in already so that we get back to the talking point and we don't get all flooded out. This is from Comrade Daniel. He said, don't you think our neglect of the Ajakuta Steel is a reason why we have not been able to build our wagons and other automobile rather than depending on our universities? He says also that this government established a wagon.
Which engineers are going to run the Ajakuta?
Let's just take his call. A wagon assembly plant somewhere in Ogun State. A groundbreaking ceremony was done by the vice president about 3 years ago. Have you gone there to verify level of work going there? But let's take some other message. We'll come back to that, to know that also that if you put up a hospital, for example, and you don't have the personnel to run that place, you just have put up mortar and bricks.
Up an airline without pilots. You think the plane will fly itself?
Oh, engineers.
The gentleman asking.
Aeronautical engineers.
He wants to do the Ajakuta without engineers.
I will go quickly down to Andose from Maryland. He says, UNESCO has just released the most recent data of out-of-school children in the world. As usual, Nigeria occupies one of the on the lowest rung with 20 million children out of school. This is the population of Benin, Togo, and Sierra Leone put together. All right, apparently they projected those figures from the Nigerian figure. I've also thought about that you can't have that figure stay permanently at 12 point something million. It will go higher because investment hasn't been made yet. So we'll cross back with MBS and see if those...
Ahol, let me just say, if anybody wants to look at those figures, I think I was tweeting about it during the week.
Yeah.
from UNESCO Institute of Statistics. Yeah. Just go to my handle at Rotimi Sankore. Just scroll down. Mm. You will see it. One of the figures from UNESCO. Yeah. Click on the link, and then you will see the global data and where Nigeria is there. Mm. And then whether we can make progress.
Mm. 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 Femi from Dallas, Texas writes that I am a chemist with over 6 years' experience in industrial gases, specialty in gas chromatography analysis. I was motivated to take my family out of the country because I knew of the poor educational standard in Nigeria. Because I don't want my children to have the same experience I had, especially when I needed to secure a job abroad, because the Nigerian educational system only equipped me with theory, no practical experience. University in Nigeria system's disaster needs to be fixed. Femi, we hear you. This one says, I don't have your name, sir, but you say, I don't know that you're a man or woman, but it said, let me be honest with you. You see, this thing called virtual learning in university is going to be the next big thing around many university education. And students will set it up for our so-called lecturers and ASU members based on what they have learned globally online. Says also that the agreement or demand should not be used to describe the means of last resort for learning. They should upgrade their curriculum to meet modern learning. But how do you upgrade if you don't have the resources to make it upgraded?
See, the thing is, you can only upgrade when you have the basic.
Right.
Even virtual learning, you need 3D models.
Yes.
Hmm. You need to construct 3D models. Do you know the kind of computer you need to learn in 3D? When you go to buy that computer and they tell you that the computer costs 1 million or 2 million, can your parents afford it? Because it is imported in Forex. If the computer is built in Nigeria, then it will be affordable. Then you can learn in 3D in virtual reality.
Apparently, there appears to be a lack of understanding, really, of what the university should be like. You know, even this broadcast thing we do, in the United States, the departments of mass communication have more advanced technology than the regular TV stations you see, the CNN and the rest of them.
Yes.
They do those things first at the university level, the 3D reporting or 3D sound or graphics or all of those things are done in the university. In fact, people leave the so-called mainstream stations to work and lecture the university so they can get better knowledge before they go back again.
The thing is this. We also have a problem with lack of critical thinking education at the lower level of primary and secondary school. If not, we won't have that gentleman asking us that, isn't it better to build the Ajaokuta rather than invest in university? We've been trying to do the Ajaokuta for how long? The Ajaokuta is even now outdated. You know, so look, once you have the human capacity, once you invest in the university and polytechnic system, the youth that you have trained will build everything. They will build everything. Look, there is no young Nigerian person that is given the same opportunity as a Chinese, American, German, or South Korean young person that cannot build the same thing. There is no young Nigerian person that is given that opportunity that cannot build the same thing. So why do we want to do Ajaokuta and bring Russians or Chinese to come and maintain it for us? And hold us by block us.
Okay, Rotimi, let's look at this one here. Prince from Aja says, I think the government is using delay tactics to shift their responsibilities to the incoming government, the APC government's failure, and don't care of the education of the country. Prince from Aja. Simon Udihi says, Rotimi Sankore, powerful knowledge bank. This is from Kayode Nikotin, who says that quite unfortunate that all Nigeria qualified electrical engineers can't perfectly give solution to Nigeria's energy improvement. You'd be amazed. They actually do, but it's just on the front pages that those so-called those solutions. We even have a show called Energy Solution on Nigeria Info, and those things are now open source information. So, Rotimi, we're going to have to go on another break, but we got so many messages. So, what I will just do, maybe in the next two minutes there, but I'll quickly go through those messages and then we can respond to them once we're back from the break. This is Alex Agbo from Suwolere, who says he graduated from Ahmadu Bello University. My roommate was studying computer science in 2007. He had not seen a functioning computer. All they had were obsolete desktops. I don't know if they have been replaced now. I hope they have, sir. Don't we have the same mineral resources that we can mine, since it has now become a taboo to build refineries and export crude? How can we focus on Ajaokuta when we don't have graduates who really know what they studied? When I was in school as an economics student, I used to help year 4 electrical to change light bulbs. How ironic. Here you, sir. Then this is Ernest from Ikorodu, who says this is the core truth of the Nigerian government. Says, I have been in Singapore for 7 years. Their lives and transport system are what he is talking about. I love this man. Thank you, sir. Please, if the ASUU president comes in, what will happen to... Maybe he wants us to ask him, what will happen to JAMB of this year, next year? Because JAMB will still make their money next year. Gabriel from Moe, interesting question.
Sadly. I mean, the poor children and their parents will be paying for exams they are going to take for for university that is not functioning.
It's unbelievable, huh? Okay, so if we get Professor Shodeke, I will try again one more time after the break, and maybe he can respond to those questions. You can send us your experiences in schools. I see someone writing from who was in the University of Lagos. I would also love to hear what your experience was while in university. 99.3 Nigeria Info is a public square. We'll be right back.
The Public Square.
All right, welcome back. 99.3 Nigeria Info. I'm Awogo Obo. It's a minute past five, and together with Rotimi Sankore, it's the biggest issue as far as you're a youth. Even if you're not a youth, it's the shutdown of universities for 7 months now. The biggest thing on the minds of several people, especially if you're in the development sphere, because the consequences are grave. And those consequences are the things we are looking at this evening. The big picture sort of picture we have. 08095975805. Again, 08095975805. That's the number on WhatsApp, and I think I've done fairly well so far in taking in the messages. Rotimi is still here. Update on Professor Emmanuel Oshodeke, the president of ASUU, who should have joined the square by now. That meeting apparently is a very, very heated one, and he still cannot escape from the meeting to have us ask him some questions. But we hope that eventually, after all of these several meetings, let's say he'd be one of the most under pressure leaders of the Academic Staff Union of Universities. Maybe he wants to end the strikes, which his predecessors have always handed over to the next one. We've never been able to get away from it. So, Rotimi, we still got a number of talking points. We got to open the phone lines at some point also too. And Don't forget on social media at Nigeria Info FM at Public Square NG. I wrote me some query at Awogo Obo. Send us messages and comments. Would love to hear from you. So, Rotimi, we have gone through some of the talking points, even though these are things we talk about almost every other week because they're interconnected. We were on the gap, trying to understand the gap, and there's something which a lot of people have been talking about. It is the same, this whole crisis from different points of views. Parents on one hand, the students on the other hand, can't be on the same page on this whole thing.
So we have a peculiar dilemma in Nigeria, which is that proportional to the population, we have one of the widest gaps globally between those that have higher education, polytechnic and university, and those that don't. So, for instance, in the most developed countries, of course, not everybody has university education, but the proportion, the gap between those that have polytechnic education, university education, or other forms of higher education, like teacher education, the gap is not that wide. So more people understand how the university system works. So if doctors in the average in developed world, a developed country, come out and say, say the doctors in teaching hospital come out and say, oh, we don't have the equipment to teach medical students. And we are going to withdraw our teaching services until such a time when we have those equipment to teach the medical student. More people will understand that issue immediately, because they will understand that graduating a doctor that doesn't know what he or she is doing is dangerous to the rest of the society. Somebody was talking about 3D virtual learning. So there are universities now where they use 3D virtual models to teach medical students. So the entire human body is presented in 3D. You can see inside, you can see outside, you can see the difference between a vein and an artery. You can simulate what will happen if a pregnant woman is having a problem delivering a baby, and say the baby is coming leg first rather than head first, and there is a breach. You can simulate all those things virtually in 3D because the equipment is there, the computing power is there, the electricity is there. The university lecturer can teach the medical students what to do. If there is this problem, you do this. If there is this problem, you do this. They can simulate it. Then there are practicals. Now, if ASU members that are teaching in College of Medicine say, we don't have lights in the teaching hospital, and therefore we are doing surgery with a candle and touchlights. After 6 months of attack by the Minister of Labor, the Minister of Education, and so forth, you may hear some parents saying, they should just go back now so that their children can graduate. Now, when the children graduate without having done any of those things before, whether it's simulated 3D virtual reality or practical, and your mother, your sister, or your wife, or even your friend, or goes to deliver a baby, and there is a complication, and you lose the mother and the baby, doesn't it occur to people that it is because of substandard training, not because the person does not have the potential to understand what to do?
to solve the problem.
Mm.
But the person has never been taught properly how to solve the problem. But the person has been graduated and is called doctor. So if parents understand these problems, they will not be in a hurry. And I sympathize with the parents fully. That why are their children spending more time than necessary studying courses? But the people, instead of putting the pressure on the government to make the necessary investment, they will put the pressure on the lecturers and say, just graduate them, let them go. Which one is your own? So when you see all these increasing cases of what some people will start describing as medical malpractice, whereas it is substandard university, you know, or buildings that are collapsing, new buildings collapsing almost every week in Nigeria now. And it does not occur to people that the, you know, the guys that built the, you know, they have not been subjected to the rigorous training and practicals that makes them understand that even removing two bags of cement from the formula or removing some steel that reinforces the structure means that it can collapse, or to add two more floors than was approved. If you've been through the rigorous training and you've been through the practicals, if the person building the property suggests that to you, you will just look at the person and say, you are crazy. I'm not going to be part of it. But if you've not been through that rigorous training and the practicals, and you are in poverty, and the person just offers you a little more money to save. I mean, you hear people building all the time. How can we save on this? How can we cut costs? How can you cut costs on quality? You want to build 12-story building, you want to cut costs on quality because economy is hard. And then the poorly trained engineer or whoever who has no practical experience goes and facilitates it. And then the building collapses and people die. You know, and parents can't make that connection.
You can see
the gap in knowledge, even from the rest of society. Look, I saw the son of a governor from the Northwest gloating on social media that very soon only the ASUU president will be on strike and calling for ASUU to be banned. This guy, his parents sent him abroad to study. We saw the picture when he was graduating abroad. But he doesn't think that the children of ordinary people deserve quality education that can make the country safer.
Which is the point I'm going to come to, Rotimi, we're going to come to. Don't worry, all of you sending messages, we are going to get to them in a short while. We'll also open the phone lines. So, Rotimi, very importantly, let's look at demographics here, because it's important people understand what we are dealing with. On the one hand, you talked about this gap, this wide, I don't know what to call it, a gap or a chasm that exists in terms of numbers of people who are educated and those who aren't educated. And you look at the demographics around the median age of Nigeria, 18 million. And there's also a very important statistic for those who look at the number of Nigerians, Nigerian children who are born yearly, 7.5, and then only 5.5 or thereabout make it into primary school. Of that number, only 600,000 end up finding spaces in universities, and that's public university. So, Rotimi, think about this. If this talk about a lot of people saying that the government wants to abdicate the responsibility, saying it's becoming a popular argument that higher education should not be for everyone. What will happen to those numbers that already, imagine 10% of the country's population have access to university, which is already a big problem in terms of what development options we have, thinking into the future.
I think again, this is the problem of knowledge gap. So
some people will make this argument that university education is not for everybody. Well, maybe that is true. But the everybody does not go to university should also have top quality education in their vocational training that is certified. So if you're in a developed country and a structure is being put up, so you have the different types of engineers and technicians that went to university and polytechnics working on it. But the people doing the plumbing for the building went for vocational training and they are certified. It is a diploma, a standardized diploma. So when people in Nigeria, mostly government officials, say university education is not for everybody, you never hear them follow up and say, but for those that don't go to university,
right,
we are going to set up institutions of the right quality to give people diploma in plumbing, for instance.
Good.
So that when they are doing the plumbing for the 20-story building, the pipe will not burst and be leaking. So it is not that they don't get education. The vocational education is certified. You can't be a plumber in a developed country without understanding gravity or water pressure. So you can't do that without understanding physics. Here, the people they are talking about that they claim they don't need university education are people that will say, okay, madam, am I worried? I can't work here. You know, because they think those people should not go to primary, secondary, or get a diploma in plumbing that, you know, that involves understanding of physics. How can you understand physics and water pressure and gravity if you didn't do quality primary and secondary education before going to do your vocational training in plumbing? Now, you see plumbers in the developed world, they have maintenance contracts. So typically, a plumbing company in a developed country who may employ 30 or 40 plumbers and they have maintenance contracts for multiple buildings. So they are getting well paid. You know, they are not the people turning up in rags and things like that. So that is the issue about vocational training. It does not mean that it is not in an institution. But the biggest point to make is that from the low point where Nigeria is, so Nigeria is short about 490,000 doctors. We are short almost 2 million nurses. We are short about 500,000 engineers and so forth like that. So to close that gap, we need more university education, not less. And you know how you always say this, that roughly half the population, that is about 100 million, are under the age of 18. So those 100 million under the age of 18 today, which higher education are they going to get if we are going with this nonsense coming from government officials that, you know, that they are not going to invest more in the universities? What will happen to those children? What will happen to Nigeria? Are those children not condemned to permanent unemployment, permanent poverty? And those politicians think it will not affect them?
Plenty of food for thought. And we are going to open the phone lines. Ruth, I think we can open the phone lines now. And we can open the phone lines now and maybe explore some more points as you bring them up while you call in. So everyone who's going to call in, please be kind to us and use up the 1 minute we give to you. Very well. If you've got questions, we'd love to hear them. If you've got comments also too, We'd also love to hear from you. If you've got insights into the sector too, we'd also love to hear from you. The number to call, 0700-993-993-993. Again, 0700-993-993-993. And then you can also call the line, additional opportunity for the female callers, 01465-7190. Again, 01465-7190. So we have the entire dashboard. Everyone wants to talk. So who's the first to the block this evening? Hello and good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Great to have you join us. Your name, please, and where you calling from?
I'm calling from Egbeda.
So quickly, you're going to do something for us. You're going to move away from the device you're listening with and then talk to us so we don't get the feedback.
This conversation for a very long time. And I've been hearing so many things about this issue of this country. And I understand that there are so many people, there are still people that really understand what is going on in this country and can provide solutions to it. My question is, how can Mr. Zakori put this thing into what can really happen, at least from 2023? Is he ready to join one of these political parties, not the two popular ones.
Okay.
So that this experience, this knowledge will not just be on the radio.
All right. Thank you very much. It's a very important forum. The Public Square Party is the party I know Mr. Zakori belongs to. And he offers his expert opinion here, and I think he's okay with that. Hello and good evening.
Good evening, Alago.
Great to have you join us. Your name, please, and where you calling from?
Marco.
Hey, Makushi.
Yeah, this is Pastor Ladi.
Good. Go ahead, Pastor Ladi.
Please, I want to ask Rotimi Zakori some questions. Good evening, Sir Rotimi.
Hello. Good evening.
Yeah, my question that I want to ask you is this. Some of these data and these things, are these government officials, are they aware of them? That is one. Two, when will you take some of these statistics to the television? Because it seems that from what you are saying, the radio, it looks as if these people are not listening. Because if you follow all these facts, you will see that there are things that are scaring. They are very scaring. So, as far as I'm concerned, I would have loved us beyond your own, only that your Twitter handle, and you don't always come up. I've tried several times to check on this.
Okay.
So, lastly, please, the issue of this ASU. For me, I think ASU has not explained themselves better for the public to understand what is going on. So, they are trying now to blackmail them. This present administration.
All right.
Thank you and God bless Nigeria.
All right. Thank you very much, Pastor Ladipo. Hello and good evening. Sorry about that. Hello and good evening.
Hello.
Great to have you join us. Your name, please, and where you're calling from?
Shanko Maku.
Hey, Makushi.
Honorable Koboko.
Koboko, go ahead.
I greet you and I greet Professor E.S. Kweyasankore, the president that we're supposed to have. I don't have a lot to say. But all I want to say is that I beat my chest that we have employable graduates. I don't want any China to come and hold Nigeria ransom. So to go to the short, I want to continue. This will be the last wreck in Nigeria. But if they are instigated and they call this wreck, call the same thing on again this future. I will use that Oshogbo Amadiwala to meet the two of them I know, the ASU people that I know, Mbamba Gaba. So let that continue.
All right, Koboko, thank you very much. Let's go to Folashade. I see she's calling in from Ijegun. Hello, Folashade.
And Mr. Otemi Zakori.
Good evening. Great to have you join us.
Good evening. I'm so happy to be part of this discussion. What it saddened my heart with all the discussion that Rotimi actually enumerated, in the sense that the way they have put education at the back burner in this country is very saddening. And our youth, they are seeing all these things, and when you tell them to be serious with the academics, they'll tell you education is scam. But we need to help them to retrace their steps, to reorientate them. And how can they fix all this mess that they have put us in? Number one, I think necessary infrastructure, equipment, practical apparatus need to be put in place. On CNN, I was able to see Taiwan documentary on education. When I was in secondary school, they used to call Taiwan, Singapore, all those, China, they call them the Asian Tigers. Now they have overtaken us from being a developing country to a developed country per se. So what they need to do is to put all this infrastructure in place, just like Taiwan, just like China. Each child should have a computer that they will use to study, all the necessary equipment that they need to be able to boost their knowledge in areas of their educational qualification or pursuit. Then, two, they need to invest massively in human capital because it's a bedrock for development. And by so doing, they need to look at all levels of education, starting from primary, secondary, monotechnic, polytechnic, university, etc. They need to see to it that all these areas of education are invested in. And they should also see to it that with the knowledge and all the things that are put in their charge to make it an enabling environment for them to study, it will translate for this country to economic boom.
Economic boom, and is what we all desire. We're going to go on a quick break. We come back, there will still be plenty of time to take in the calls from you. Please stay with us on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
The Public Square.
Nigeria Info, the Public Square, and this, the home run. We're going to touch base. Believe it or not, how time flies when you have a big discussion like this, almost as if we had just begun. Ken from Agbado writes, my son completed his automobile studies in the university without practical knowledge. This afternoon, I sent him to the roadside workshop for further training, which will be added to the number of years spent in school. I feel like suing the university, state governor, ATC. Indeed, I am sad having to spend additional money and time for a course that he studied for 5 years.
That's a parent that understands the problem.
Yeah, exactly. this one writes, guys, it's very unfortunate as President Buhari's government is allowing universities to be under lock and keys. Education is set to be the bedrock of any developing society. Rotimi, what will happen to those ones who want to go for youth service? He says, I am an APC core member, but this is not what we promised Nigerians in education. We promised not strike. Mr. PMB, wake up. Alaba Alakwe writes to us on WhatsApp. Invite Rotimi to current certified engineers to help in matters on engineering training and studies in Nigeria. As an engineer of about 30 years experience, he says analysis not correct, though he meant well. Ajibola James from Magodo. This one says, Olamide Negon says, in as much as I don't support the government in the way and manner they've been handling the lecturers issue, lecturers are not fighting for all that Mr. Sankore is talking about. Sadly, 98% of what selfishly fighting for is their incomes. Not true, not true. You misunderstand them, what they fight for. This one's quite long. I'll just read one paragraph here. Our biggest problem, this one says, is religion. If we have bad leadership, we believe it's cause of our sins. I've seen an agri student working in a bank as a contract student. We need to change the way we think. Gives an example of if a relative dies in hospital due to poorly educated doctors and power failure, we blame the devil, witches, and village people. Nice analogy there from Chief Udo. This is Tony from Alabama, who writes that Ajakuta was designed to fail from day one by engaging Russians, a country that don't manufacture anything other than weapons of mass destruction. Tony. They manufacture more than weapons of mass destruction. Let's see this last one before I get back to the phone lines. I always enjoy your conversation. Lagos Rail Line. The country can't produce the coaches, but that shouldn't stop the state from development. Lagos University and Polytechnic is in session, though. I agree there's more room for improvement. I pardon the eye-opening criticism. Hope someone in Lagos State Government is listening. Also invite Commissioner of Education in Lagos for interview. And give them some ideas. Lekan Owolabi from Ikorodu. Right. All right, we'll take the remainder. Because we're going to be here forever.
If I may just clarify
right
on two or three of the issues raised, I may miss some. Certainly not possible to cover everything in the little time. Someone says many of the lecturers are fighting for selfish. I think this is a reference to the salary thing.
Right.
Look, let me just try and summarize this thing again so that people understand. So, a lecturer that is an external examiner. So, if you're a lecturer in UNILAG, you're an external examiner for, say, IFE, or a university in Ghana. I mean, surely you are not going to do, and university systems need external examiners globally. So this is how it works. It's nothing peculiar to Nigeria. So if you are an external examiner for another university, surely nobody is suggesting that you can't get an allowance for that. That is the way it works. If you are a visiting professor, if a visiting professor from America comes to Nigeria to come and spend some time, the person will get an allowance. So if a Nigerian professor goes to New York or, you know, Canada, Toronto, somewhere, the person will get an allowance. If a lecturer is supervising 50 students, that person will get more than somebody supervising one student. So these are the issues that the government officials try and confuse people with. And by saying, those people are looking for a double pay. They want to be earning in one place, you know, while working in another. And so on and so forth like that. Now, most of those government officials went to university. So it is either they didn't learn anything in the university or they are willfully misleading the public. It's as simple as that. Somebody supervising 50 students will earn more than somebody supervising 5 students. If the IPPS does not capture that, the IPPS is faulty. And by the way, the committee set up to examine the UTAS and IPPS has found out that the UTAS works better. And the UTAS is designed in Nigeria. The IPPS is designed by foreigners. And you will be paying the foreigners' consultancy. More foreign exchange going out. So, you know, this thing that they are fighting for self, you know, is because people don't understand. And once you don't understand, you are easily misled by government propaganda. Now, in the media here,
our constitutional role. Constitution, we are not here playing. Our constitutional role is public education and ensure accountability. So that's what we are doing. Facts, data.
Another listener suggested that TV is better than radio for dissemination of information. As Chukwudi and all the other colleagues will say, I beg to differ. Yes, the young people on the debates, I beg to differ. All those brilliant young people. Radio reaches far more people than TV. So, I mean, if you are in traffic now, you are listening to radio, you can watch TV. If you get some chances, you have light, you know, it's possibly not there. Now, lastly, regarding whether these analysis data can be taken to the policymaker directly. Well, I spent, of the roughly 20 years I spent living while working outside Nigeria, about 15 years of it, from 2000 to 2015, during the Millennium Development Goals, was spent specifically doing that, working with the African Union, with the SADC, with the SADC Secretariat and the SADC Parliamentary Forum. SADC is the equivalent of ECOWAS for Southern Africa, the EAC, East African Community, and the East African Assembly, which is like the ECOWAS Parliament and so forth like that. 15 years with the African Union, the Pan-African Parliament, making presentations to ministerial conferences, to speakers of parliament, and even occasionally to heads of state summit at the African Union level. So, and the Nigerian officials were there. And by the way, I should mention that a lot of this data is from the Bureau of Statistics, Population Commission, Ministries of Education, Health, and so forth like that. Many of these reports are signed off on by the minister.
You're correct.
In charge of the sector. So, you know, if the minister says he's not aware of what he was signing, what kind of minister is that?
Right. All right.
We can't say that they are not aware.
Right.
Maybe some of them don't understand it. Maybe even many don't understand it.
It reminds me of one of the messages someone put up on the WhatsApp platform, where he said that maybe the Nigerian problem should be viewed as a project study. And he got me thinking of my final year project, wrote to me in school. It had a very interesting title for the project. It was called Nigeria Problems. So you were supposed to find one Nigeria problem and use the planning model and a socioeconomic model to resolve that problem. So there's a lot of information available out there, but it's been used.
Yes. The quality of the policymakers is also really poor. When a minister of labor, who happens to be a medical doctor, tells you that we have more than enough doctors. When the data, just Google, and you will see immediately that we are short almost 500,000 doctors.
Yeah.
Any diligent secondary school student can get that information in 10 minutes.
Yeah. And he's not even taking into account that the universities this year are not going to graduate doctors. There'll be no house officers at this rate. Other areas of the medical field, and that will have implications. But let's get back to the phone line. We have just about 8 minutes or there, about a minute for everyone who joins in now. Hello and good evening. Welcome to the Public Square.
Chief Obo.
Great to have you join us. Your name, please, and where you're calling from?
Yaku Maku.
Makushi. Chris, great to have you.
Good evening, sir. You've been doing this for the past 7.5 years. These people don't care because their kid doesn't school here. Look at the one of the governor of Kaduna State, what the son said. So how do you think they will feel concerned about our universities here? No. Most of them have their own private universities. Both former vice president, former president, and you expect these people to listen to you. I hear that lady, Rotimi, and put this into them. They don't care. The president himself, the son just graduated the other day. The guy in River State, who is making noise all over the place, the son just graduated the other day. For 7 years, Rose TV have been doing this. They don't have a listening ear or what? Oh. The president was in one of the education summit the other day.
Mm.
Over there, he told them, I'm going to increase the whatever to 50%. Up to today, how many percent is he paying?
Thank you. Thank you very much. By the way, Nigeria is one of the main sponsors for the International Day of Education. So I'd love to hear what we have to say the next. Sorry about that. Please call back. Hello and good evening.
Yeah, hello. This is Joy.
Joy, great to have you join us. Go ahead, please.
Okay. I want to thank Mr. Sankore, for the good work he's doing. I really do not want to talk much. Before concerning this ASO strike, because there's something you can always play on your voice note. Somebody is always saying that the lecturers want to earn salary here and also earn salary the other place, this and that. But Rotimi has actually made us understand that some of these lecturers earn money in other places because either they are they're invited for external examining or something, and they're supposed to be paid allowances for that. Right. And this thing that they have, the IPBS does not contain that. Is it wrong for them to actually say you should factor this thing to this to the applications they now have? And we say we need to grow Nigeria to benefit. I don't know that slogan that we use. And they are the number one culprit in going outside to get something and taking out dollars instead of us to, you know, improve our own thing here that we can actually do. I just want to say thank you to Rotimi. And parents that are saying call off the strike, they should understand. When your child comes back home, ask your child, that thing he has gone to learn in a university, does he truly understand it practically, not just theory?
All right. Thank you very much, Joy. Hello and good evening.
Hello, good evening, hello, I'm Sankore.
Great to have you join us. Your name, please, and where are you calling from?
I'm Ezedum from Suru.
Ezedum. Go ahead.
Please, I want to ask you, Mr. Sankore, please. What is misappropriation? Explain misappropriation. Is ASU strike as a result of misappropriation? I asked this free question because, I knew that a lot of money were spent on trader money, on Empower. At a time, CBN Governor Emefiele almost became Minister of Agriculture, throwing billions of naira in agricultural intervention. Even Keyamo had 774,000 unneeded job in for local government just because of impression. Sankore, with all this money, did you think that there is a misappropriation? Because I am a professional engineer, but the little economic knowledge I had, I knew of scale of preference that you throw your money to where you have problem. So school feeding program was first misappropriated.
All right.
Empower fraudulent 704,000 jobs by Keyamo, hundreds of billions of naira wasted. Sankore, did you think misappropriation is the result of ASU strike?
All right, Ezedum, thank you very much. This is a rhetorical question, but...
the summary answer is that education is not being prioritized as it should. He knows the answer to this. Education is not being prioritized. If not, we won't have these millions of children out of school, 60 million adults that can't read and write, and all the deficits in human development skills in education sector. You know, we don't have enough teachers. Yeah. We don't have enough doctors. We don't have enough engineers.
And we don't
have it, and so forth.
And
so,
we don't have enough time. I wish you could hold down the time and then take in all these calls coming in. But I don't want to be tempted to take in one more call. We have so many messages coming in, and I'm sure that I don't think, Rotimi, I've seen this volume of engagement either on WhatsApp or on the phone lines over this subject. And I think we may just have to come back to this at some point again. The earlier the better, so that it will help us. Hopefully we can see if we can drag Professor Shodeke, and help us understand a lot for also too from the lecturer's point of view, whether they are going to continue. They say indefinitely, and when I spoke with him last time, he said indefinitely means...
Look, clearly, the best thing for the country is for the government to meet the agreement and the lecturers can go to work in a more qualitative environment. This is just the simple solution. The agreement has been signed for years. So, you know, the government says no money, but the railway to Niger is being built with over $1 billion, which is more than enough to revitalize all the universities in Nigeria. Will Niger make Nigeria more productive? No.
All right.
So the resources comes out, the students can go back, and not only go back, learn more in a qualitative environment.
We
Nigerian economy will diversify and become industrialized.
Yes.
And we march forward.
Right. So we have to go now, and we'll continue the conversation next week, same time, and also throw in some more important stuff on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Up next, you have the news, and after the news, there's Ifeanyi and Sammy with Music and Moments. You can listen to previous editions of this show on nigeriainfo.fm. Just go to listen again.